Hello, my name is Randy Hillier. For 15 years, I was an elected representative in the Ontario Legislature. Join me at Scuttlebutt Lodge, my camp here in Lanark County, as I'm joined by great Canadians who are making a positive contribution to advocate for and defend faith, freedom, and democracy. Come on in. Well, welcome back to Scuttlebutt Lodge. In this week's episode, we're going to share a little story about just how and why politics is corrupt here in Canada. And we're going to talk about some of my experience with political parties rigging the nomination process. That's where it all begins. And this complements what I've shared earlier about the Palace Guard who control the access to the legislative agenda and what the leader or the premier or prime minister hears, as well as the other players, the other actors who help create the illusion that we have a representative democracy. But again, it all goes back at the beginning to rigging the nomination and making sure that the political parties get the man or woman that they want in their caucus and that they exclude and prevent outspoken people with conviction and passion who are independent, prevent them from getting a seat in our parliaments and our legislatures. So the first time I saw this was with myself. Back in 2007, I had just announced that I was going to seek the nomination in the newly created riding of Lanark, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington for the Ontario Progressive Conservative Party. And I had dealt with these people in the party previously as the former president of the Lanark Landowners Association and the Ontario Landowners, whose motto and was "This land is our land, back off government." I had quite a bit of involvement in the political system prior to seeking the nomination. And about a week after I publicly announced that I was going to seek the nomination, I get a call from Frank Cleese. Frank was a senior member of the PC caucus. He was a member for Newmarket Aurora at the time. I knew him well. I had helped him in his leadership bid of 2004. So we had a bit of a history, a considerate, respectful, professional history. And I thought of him as an ally at the time. But he calls me up and he says, "Randy, we in the party really like you, but we don't think that it would be best for you to be a candidate or to be a member of the caucus." And I was taken back a little bit because I did know these people. And yes, I was a little bit loud, a little bit militant maybe in my opposition to government involvement in people's lives and properties. And I'd made myself a reputation and a name for being a very passionate and outspoken advocate. But Frank says to me, he says, "If you choose not to run as a candidate, the party will make sure that you get a very well-paying job with the party or with one of our corporate sponsors and donors. We'll make sure that you get paid very well and that there'll be no heavy lifting, that there'll be, you won't have to do very much, Randy. You'll just get paid well." And I said to Frank, "I'm not looking for a job. If I wanted the job, I would just go back being an electrician." I said, "We need to have strong, committed people in our parliament to prevent increasingly intruding into our lives." So that was my first experience with a political party trying to rig the nomination process. And here in Canada, it's very easy for political parties to do that. Unlike the United States, which has open nominations, or as they call them, open primaries, where anybody, even outspoken individuals like Donald Trump not only can seek the nomination, they can win. But here in Canada, we don't allow that to happen. It's a very odd situation, a rare situation, when an outspoken person becomes a member of the legislature or parliament. So that's one of the ways they rig the nomination. And why they do this, all political parties understand this very well. If they have people who owe the party, are beholden to the party for their nomination, then they can control that individual for their entire career. And a couple of the ways they do this that people aren't aware of is, first, they go through your entire history and background. They have a team of researchers who go back and comb through the public records, the internet, the court records, to determine if you have ever said anything that may be a little too colorful, or maybe just outright wrong or bad in the party's view. But they go to such great lengths. They will know how many times your neighbors called the police or the bylaw because your dog was barking, or how many times you've had a speeding ticket or go through a stop sign, or everything that you can possibly think that has happened in your background. They will know about it. And they will either use this as a means to disqualify the candidate, or more often, use it as leverage against the candidate down the road. And we've seen this so often, people being removed from caucus. It isn't just because of what they said today. It's if you see people who resign unexpectedly, in all likelihood, the party and the operatives have something they're holding over that person. You know, one that comes to mind recently is the unexpected announcement and revelation by John Tory. Suddenly, unexpectedly, he resigns as mayor. And you wonder why. What was this also happening? So, offer a reward, a bribe with a job or something like that. Find out everything that person has ever done and use it against them. There's a few other ways that are a little bit more coarse, a little more unsophisticated that the party uses. You'll often see ballot stuffing and disqualified voters. We saw a lot of that during the Patrick Brown tenure, where unbelievable numbers of people were signed up as members for their preferred candidate. They can't always do that for example, in my case, I was somewhat savvy of the political process, and we had a significant number of scrutineers to make sure that ballot stuffing didn't go on or disqualifying of the people who were supporting me. But those are a couple of the ways. And at the end of the day, when everybody asks you, or whenever anybody says, you know, why is it that an elected member becomes a trained SEAL? Well, it started right at the get-go, started with their nomination. And I'll share one other story, because this is also an important one. Oftentimes, a party will say, we're going to not have a nomination race in a certain area for various reasons, or they delay it so long that it becomes justifiable to the party members, that they waited too late, an election is being called, they have to just handpick someone. Back in the 2011 election, when Tim Hudak was leader, the party took 21 ridings out of the nomination process. And I remember talking to Tim afterwards on this. I said, you know, your party guys think that they know so well, and they had exclusivity on 21 ridings that they didn't allow a race to happen in. And I said, out of those 21, only two people were elected. The other 19 hand-picked candidates, well, they lost. The two that were successful was Todd Smith in the Bay of Quinte, Belleville area, and Vic Fedeli, the former mayor of North Bay. They were protected, and so those guys knew right from the beginning, their nomination, they owed the party for that nomination. It wasn't because of their skill and their competencies that they got the nomination. The party handpicked them. So this is, you know, in addition to last week and the week before's episode where I talked about the palace guard who control the, who has access to the premier and what the premier can hear and who he can see. And then the other operatives of the party who create the stage show, create the illusion that we have a democracy. Then you have the nomination for the individual members. And that will only go on to further the next story about how they rig the leadership races as well. So the party operatives, the corporate interests that control the party have got this cemented. They've got it down pat that the only people who are going to be in elected office are those who they control. Only those who will permit and allow and facilitate this melding of corporate interest with government no longer has the public's interest at heart, in the mind, or even considered. These are corporate interests that now control every aspect of every political party and the end result. The law of the land that we live under is not for our interest, but somebody else's interest. Thanks for joining me at Scuttlebutt Lodge. I hope you enjoyed this little episode of rigging the nominations. And, you know, maybe in hindsight, I should have said, taking the money that the party was offering me. Because we can see 15 years later, although the party didn't change me, I didn't change the party either. The same corruption that was evident in 2007 is here with us today, but in spades. And the only way that we can really challenge this is through independent members in our parliaments and in our legislatures and get them away from the corporate interests that control our political parties. Until next week, have a lovely day. Thanks for tuning in. And another episode of Rigging the Leadership Races is on deck.
I hope you enjoyed today's video. Make sure to like, share, and follow. And if you'd like to spend some time at Scuttlebutt Lodge, click on the link below. I look forward to seeing you here at the lodge.